So number 24, grace greater than our sin. Grace that is greater than our sin. Number 24. All right, here we go.
Marvelous grace of
our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt, yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured. There the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Sin and despair like the sea waves cold, threaten the soul.
Choose him and his way if you would want that fellowship. He even desired this fellowship so much that you and I both know that he sent down his son to die on the very cross and so that we could all have a chance with him. Fellowship is a friendly relationship among people. And I mean, how are we supposed to have a good relationship with God if all we do is worry about the things of this world? And last night, Logan, he was talking about how we are so limited on time with serving the Lord. And our opportunities are very out of order. And the only way that we're able to fix that is if we put the Lord first. If we do that, everything will just fall into place. I strive to make time to read in my Bible, but so many things will get in the way, you know? Not really, but that's just, it's just easier to say, and oh, I'll do this later and put it off, you know, and just do what my flesh wants to do. But the easy way is not always going to be the right way. And as a matter of fact, many things that you'll do in this life, especially as a Christian, will be very difficult. And reading in your Bible, that's discipline. I mean, you're not just going to start off knowing how to do it and just say, oh, hey, I'm going to read it right now. And then, I mean, some people are able to do that, but it takes time to discipline your body to be able to do that. And the more you do it, the more it will become a routine, and then your body will crave the Word of God. And reading is very, very important, because without it, you won't be getting the knowledge that you'll need to be getting. Our job as Christians is to bring reconciliation back to the Lord and to be an ambassador for Him. And I don't know about you guys, but I want to be prepared whenever I see the Lord. And when we go to heaven, the Lord's going to ask us 6 questions, and I want to be prepared to answer them. So if you guys want to turn to Job 26, verses 1 through 4. Job 26, 1 through 4. It says, But Job answered and said, How hast thou helped him that is without power? How savest thou arm that hath no strength? How hast thou counseled him that hath no wisdom? And how hast thou plentifully declared the thing as it is? To whom hast thou uttered words, and whose spirit came from thee? That lays out the 6 questions that the Lord is going to ask us whenever we get to heaven. The first one is, How hast thou helped him that is without power? Those without power are the people that are unsaved. What kind of example are you guys being at school or at work or in just your daily life? Are you standing up and doing something different because it's right, or are you just following people because it's just easier? You know, are you really being a difference? The second question was, How savest the arm that hath no strength? You, as a young Christian, you are going to be weak, and the only way to get strong is if you read your Bible. And reading your Bible, that will get you knowledge. And those unsaved people are going to ask you questions and ask you all these things that they're not going to know and understand. And you, as a Christian, you have to be strong, because you have to be able to answer those questions. They're going to try to bring you down and ask you the questions that they don't think you're going to be able to answer, and be like, oh, she doesn't know what she's talking about. That's what I thought. You have to prove them wrong and show them that you do know what you're talking about. So definitely read. The third question. How hast thou counseled them that hath no wisdom? You need the knowledge and understanding to have wisdom. Without knowledge and understanding, you're not going to be able to have wisdom, which is what you need. An example, whenever you go to get your permit, like you go and you study for this big test, and you thankfully get all the questions right if you studied correctly. Well, driving is very different than just doing the test. In this example, driving would be understanding. You learn so many more things out there in the real world by actually doing them. The fourth question, How hast thou plentifully declared the thing as it is? Tell people the truth and don't leave anything out. What is the truth if you just leave parts of it out? I mean, the Lord gave you this Bible with 100% truth in it. Are you just going to go and take what you want to hear and tell people what they want to hear? No, you need to tell it as it is. The fifth question, To whom hast thou uttered words? Are you being a strong witness to the unsaved? Referring back to the first question about being a good witness. Yeah, are you being a good example to those around you? Are you making a difference? And lastly, the sixth question, Whose spirit came from thee? Are you doing these things vainly? Are you doing these things for yourself? Or are you doing these things for the Lord? All this glory should be given back to Him. For example, all of us giving our devotions, we're not here to get, oh, you did great. We're just messengers for Him. This is us speaking for Him. This is not speaking for us saying, oh, well, I'm a good Christian because I'm coming up here talking to you guys tonight about what I think I know. No, I'm telling you what the Lord needs to get to you guys, and I hope that you guys really get something out of this. The bottom line is, you really do need to read and accomplish to be able to accomplish what the Lord has in store for you. And the verse I'm going to be closing out with is Romans 14:7, if you guys want.
You can turn that.
Romans 14:7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. That's basically saying the Lord is going to know if you used your time wisely. So whenever he's up here asking these questions to you, he's going to know if you were doing what he wanted you to do. And so I just hope and pray that you all do well with the gift that God has gave you. And that's all I have.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, everybody.
My name is Maddie. Some of you know me, some of you just met me. But today I'm going to be talking to you about choices and how they can affect us. So originally when I had decided that I wanted to talk about choices, I was just kind of thinking about like some of the bigger choices in life that have a bigger impact on us. But when I started writing this, I had realized that I overlooked the fact that we make choices every second of our lives on a daily basis. You know, we choose, like, when we wake up in the morning, we choose what we're going to wear, how we're going to do our hair. We choose, like, what we want to eat for breakfast, or we choose where we're going to sit at school or at lunch. And these are just, like, simple choices that don't really matter in life, you know, because every day if we mess them up, you know, we're going to have another opportunity at them soon to try them again. But there are some decisions that we only get one shot at. And depending on our choice, it can either really hurt somebody or it can really help somebody. So Joshua 24:15 says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." So every day we're faced with a choice. And it's, who am I going to serve? Because there are only two choices. We can serve the Lord and we can have everything he has to offer us. You know, Carolyn last night talked about their royal inheritance and everything that they had and how what we're going to inherit is so much better. And if we choose him, we will have those inheritance. Or we can serve the world and have everything it has to offer us. And a few weeks ago in youth group, Zach had said something that's really stuck with me. And he said, "We're going to be in the world, but we can't be of it." And this is absolutely true, because even when I choose God and when I choose to be different from the world, I'm still going to have to face it every day. And I need to choose to be different. At the beginning of the school year, I was having some trouble finding a place to sit at lunch, and everybody who I'd sat with in middle school didn't have the same lunch as me, and I didn't know where to sit, so I tried a few tables, and I didn't really like any of them because nobody was really talking to me, and so I found one that I really liked, and as I sat there a few days, I noticed that this girl, like, cussed a lot. Like, the second day I sat there, I think it was, she got really mad about something that happened earlier in her class, and she couldn't say a sentence without having at least 3 cuss words in it, and it was like, whoa, I really don't want to surround myself with this. So I told my mom, and I was like, "Well, I found a lunch table, but I really don't know if I want to sit here because this girl, you know, she cusses, and I don't want to surround myself with that." And she told me the same thing. She said, "You're going to be in the world, but you can't be of it. If you choose to stay there, you need to be a light, and you need to choose to be different, because you could really be a good testimony to them, and they may stop." And I've been staying there ever since then, and she's stop cussing because she saw that I was going to be like that, and she saw that everybody else that sat there, we weren't going to act like that, we weren't going to say those things, and it was all because of a simple choice. You know, Moses is a really great example of somebody who made a bad decision, and it really ended up affecting him big time. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn over to Numbers 20, verses 7 through 12. They say, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth its water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beast drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, and as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock. And Moses lifted up his hand, and with the rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, Because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them." So previously, we know that they're in the wilderness, and they're wandering, and God had told Moses to hit a rock to get water out of it for all the Jews. But here we see that this time when they need water again, the Lord tells Moses to speak to the rock. And we see, like, we would think, wow, this is just a simple example. Like, why wouldn't he just speak to it? But instead of, for whatever reason, not obeying God, he hit the rock instead. And because of this simple bad choice that he made, it cost him being able to get into the promised land. And it was just all because of one simple poor decision. And I can think of a lot of times in my life where I've messed up, and it was just because of one simple bad decision. When I've either like not made the right choice or disobeyed instruction from my parents, or when I said something that I probably shouldn't have said to like my sisters or somebody. And I look back on it and I think, wow, if only I wouldn't have said that one thing, if only I wouldn't have done that one thing, I wouldn't be in the situation that I'm in. And I bet Moses probably felt the same way. He was probably thinking, wow, I really messed up, you know, I should have just spoke to the rock, it was just a simple choice, but it was all too late. And it was one bad choice that ruined it for him, and one bad choice could end up ruining it for us. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We're all going to sin, and we're all going to make bad choices in life. But as a saved, born-again Christian, it's okay because I know I can always ask for forgiveness. And we're not only able to ask for forgiveness, but we have to. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So, this is how we restore our fellowship with him.
Oh my God.
With him when we mess up, by asking for forgiveness. And we have to, because if we don't, then it's just another bad decision that we make. Another verse, Proverbs 24:16 says, "For a just man falls 7 times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." Because even saved people are going to make mistakes. You know, we just need to acknowledge it and ask for forgiveness, and that's the best way to handle it when we make a bad decision. You know, my younger sister, Kenzie, she was down here a few months ago. Most of you know her. She ran cross country for her middle school, and she was at a race, and she was running really fast down the last straight, and she probably had 100 yards left till the finish line, and she came up on this girl, and then she started to pass her. Their legs got tangled up, and Kenzie had tripped, and she fell. And she got all scraped up, and she hurt her knee, and she hurt her arm. And instead of staying down, she got back up, and she finished the race. And that's what we need to do. When we make a bad choice and when we fall down, we need to get back up, and we need to finish the race. Mm-hmm. You know, Paul compares our Christian walk to running in a race throughout the New Testament. And I just talked about my sister running cross country, and I also ran. And at one point in our season, our coach had noticed that some of the girls weren't working as hard as they should have been, and it was really affecting the whole team. And he said, he pulled us aside after practice one day, and he told us, "I can't make you guys give it your all, but for yourself and for your teammates, I expect you to choose to give it 110% every day." Cross country is like a really unique sport because you're racing against your teammates, but you're racing with them at the same time, because you're fighting for that individual score, but you're also fighting for the team placement. And if one person on the team aspect of it, if one person doesn't try their best, it's going to affect the whole team. It's going to drag the whole team down. As a whole, the team won't do as well. And this is exactly what God expects us to do. He expects us to give 110% every day. And when we choose him, it'll be easy to do that, because we'll want to serve him, and all our other smaller choices that we make throughout the day are going to be the right ones. But if we don't choose him, then if one person doesn't choose him, then it'll drag the whole body of Christ down, and it'll affect the whole team. But if we don't choose him, then all our daily decisions are most likely going to be wrong. This morning, my teammates are competing for the state title at the state meet, and if they don't choose to give it their all, I know that they're probably not going to do very good. But if they work together as a team and stay united, I have no doubt that they won't take first place. Because this course is an uphill battle, And when I say uphill battle, I literally mean it's an uphill battle. We ran it earlier in the year, and it's hard. There are hills, and in life there are hills. And when you're trying to run up those hills, it's hard. But when if we give it 110% for God, then we will run the race for life, and we will take first place. And when we don't choose the right decisions in life, we don't stand a chance against the world. Because decisions are such a key factor in our walk with God. Because if we don't make the right ones, we're going to lead ourselves astray. And it's always so important that we're choosing the right things and making the right decisions. Because if we don't, it's going to affect us, and it's going to affect everybody around us. So I just want to leave you with a few final questions. And one of them is, what kind of choices am I making? You know, this is really, interesting to think about, because what choices am I making? Am I making good choices? Am I making bad choices? Carolyn talked about last night, considering things. Am I choosing to consider everything he's done for me, everything he's been to me? And Logan talked about spending, what we do with our time. How am I choosing to spend my time? And because Kaylin just talked about, we really only have a limited time, so we need to be choosing to spend our time wisely. And also, how will my choices affect me and others? You know, we talked about, in a race, if one person doesn't try their hardest, it affects the whole team. And it's the same in the body of Christ. If one person doesn't do their best, it's going to affect the whole team. And I just want to end with the verse that I started off with, Joshua 24:15. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Because if we choose to serve him, we're going to make smaller choices. We're going to make the right smaller choices. You know, we're going to do the right things when we spend our time. We're going to consider what he's done for us. And if we don't choose him, all the choices are going to be wrong. You know, we're going to waste our time. We're going to go on through life not caring about him or what he's done for us. And all of our choices are going to go along with who we choose to serve, because there are only two options. So it's important that we choose the Lord every day. And then once we do that, all our decisions will be the right ones. That's all I have.
All right, we're going to get up and sing a couple more songs. And Sarah's going to give the message of today. So go ahead and stand up. Victory in Jesus.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior.
Victory, oh victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming love. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory.
Victory!
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
All right, 45 in the garden. 45. All right, in the garden.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me, within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd say in the garden with him, for the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share.
Do you want a water?
Okay, I would take one.
Yeah, you can put it.
Alrighty. Alright, so my name's Sarah. I know I got to meet a lot of you guys for the first time. Just welcome to Lincoln. Just on behalf of Team Delta, we're just so thankful you guys are here and just wanted to spend the weekend with us. My voice has not been 100%, so I'm going to try my best to talk as loudly and clearly as I can. I know we already prayed before we started singing, but I'm just going to open this up in a word of prayer real quick, and then I'll get on to what I have. All right. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this time that we have and the opportunity to come together and open up your word and to fellowship and just learn more about you. I just pray that you'll get my flesh out of the way, just all my imperfections, Lord, and you'll just speak right through me. And just, I just thank you for the things that you've laid on my heart the past couple weeks and just for giving me the opportunity to stand up here and to talk to all these kids, Lord. I just love them so much, and I just pray that you'll be with us for the rest of this time together and as they travel back and just the rest of our weeks, Lord. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so for as long as I can remember, my dad has always had a vegetable garden growing in our backyard. And my dad, he's a pretty orderly man. Like, he likes to do things a certain way. And so he had it down to, like, a system. And he would spend hours out back, like, building and planting and maintaining that garden. It was kind of his hobby, kind of his release. And naturally, being the youngest daughter, I often got roped into helping out back in the garden, and I did it grudgingly all the time. I hated it. I would get out there, and I'd be covered in bug bites, and didn't smell very good, because it was like vegetable garden, so it was a flower garden, and so I didn't really like helping out back there. But looking back, I'm really thankful for those hours that I spent out there with him, because it really made me learn pretty quickly how much work goes into growing something, how much work goes into maintaining something, how much work goes into keeping something alive and keeping something flourishing, like how much work goes into a garden. So a physical garden is such a great example of the spiritual garden that we are to have with the Lord. In Romans 1:20, it says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." So the Lord, he uses things in our lives that we can see to explain different things that we cannot see. And this verse also tells us that, you know, we're without excuse, that all we have to do is look around and look at creation. I mean, creation's all around us. We could be out in the country right now. You can look around and there's so many things growing and so many things that the Lord's created, and we can learn so many incredible truths about the Lord by looking at that. And I know for me personally, visuals and pictures help me learn. I like to have an example. I like to have a picture. I like to have something that I can think back to. So today I want to talk to you guys about gardens. I want to kind of use this picture. But even more than that, I want to talk to you about how we can prepare our spiritual gardens for the Lord, that place that I can dwell with the Lord. So one of the very first things that God talks about in the Bible is a garden, the Garden of Eden. And when the Lord created Adam back in Genesis chapter 2, he put him in that garden. And it's where they walk together and they have fellowship. And Adam was told in Genesis 2:15 to dress and keep the garden. So Adam was put to work in it, and he became a gardener. He was in charge of growing and tending and maintaining the fruit, the plants that would bring forth fruits. So Adam had a job back there in the garden. Do you guys know where the Lord wants to dwell with us? He wants to dwell with us in a garden, and that garden's inside of us, and it's where we have that communion and that fellowship with the Lord. And, you know, what's the number one purpose of a garden? Like, what's the purpose of growing, or I just said it, we're having a garden is to grow things, right? You know, whether it's a flower garden or a vegetable garden or anything like that, like, that's the purpose of a garden. So, John 15, verses 4 through 5 says, 15, verse 4 through 5 says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. for without me, ye can do nothing. So this verse is telling us that when we abide in the Lord and when he abides in us, that's when we get to bring forth fruit. That's when that fruit happens. And so, you know, inside, like when we have the Lord inside of us, and that's, you know, that's our fellowship. And when we come together and he's completely filling me and I'm giving myself over to him, like that's when it says that, you know, together, that's when you're going to bear fruit. So, you know, you guys are in such an awesome time of your lives. You know, the choices that you guys begin to make now really impact where you guys are going to be going in the future. And, you know, you can never start developing good habits too early. And it's all about becoming prepared. But I just want to preface this saying, like, please don't think that I'm trying to stand up here and pretend that I know everything. And also, like, high school was not back in my glory days. Like, I was in high school 3 years ago. So I understand where a lot of you guys are coming from. Like, I vividly remember going through high school, the ups, the downs, the politics, elementary school, middle school, whatever grade you're in. Like, it can be a very frustrating time. It can be a time full of pressures and choices, you know, kind of what Maddie talked about in her devotion, like figuring out where you're going to sit at lunch, like wanting to make friends, but also wanting to stick with what you're learning in the Bible. Like, it can be a hard and intimidating territory, and I remember that. In fact, you know, sometimes I struggle to remember some of the good things of high school, because it was a hard time. But, you know, I look at you guys, and I see something so different. Something that I did not have when I was going through elementary school and middle school and high school is, you know, you guys have a Bible in your lap. You guys have friends by your side who are willing to talk to you about the Lord and the things of the Lord, and are willing to pray with you and encourage you in the things of the Lord. You know, you may not go to school with them, but they're there. They're only a text message or a phone call away. And you guys have youth leaders who are behind you and wanting to support you and help you guys in any way that you can. You guys have all the right tools. You're equipped with all the right tools to succeed, and you're equipped with them so early on. Hebrews 12:1, if you guys want to turn there, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." You know, Maddie just ended her devotion talking about running, how we're in this race. It's, you know, an uphill climb. It's exhausting, it's tiring, that we have to keep going. And just like what she said, she put it so perfectly. I love that last point that she said, where it's like, you know, even if you fall down, you just got to get back up and keep on going, because we're in a race. And I just love that picture. But the thing that I really want to focus on in this verse is that it says that we are to lay aside every weight. You know, when we're in this world, we pick up some things. We pick up some bad habits. We pick up some sin. We pick up some pressures that the world tries to put on us. And those weights, the more that we pick them up, the more they weigh us, the more that they weigh us down. The more that we pick up, the more that we try to carry on our backs through this world, the slower we're going to be when we try to run that race. And so, you know, for me personally, I really started to learn my Bible 2 years ago. And I came to realize that, you know, I was in a pretty unique position. There really wasn't a ton of things that I had to unlearn. You know, I had some weights in my bag. I still have weights in my bag that I'm trying to deal with. But I definitely didn't have 40 plus years of weights. You know, I would get frustrated because I knew nothing about the Bible, like getting to it, and I would try to read and I would be so frustrated. So I'm like, why? I should have known this sooner. Why did I not know this? And, you know, I'd get really mad at myself. But, you know, praise the Lord that I got at the right church with the right Bible, with the right people at the right time, because I was able to be an open slate, just a blank page. I had nothing. I didn't have things that I was trying to learn the first time. And, you know, a lot of you guys are in that position, too. A lot of you guys don't have to unlearn some things. Gosh. You guys have the ability to learn it right the first time. Amen. You guys have a church that loves the Lord and that loves the Word and that loves you guys and teaches it right and wants you guys to succeed and be put off on that right foot. And so, you know, instead of having to lay aside weights that you've already collected, you guys have the ability to just not pick them up. You guys have the ability to see it and know that that's not going to help you run the race faster, to see it and to know that that's not going to help you succeed and do better for the Lord. And so, like, praise God that, you know, you guys get that opportunity so early on to see that and to start making those choices now. You know, Proverbs 20, verse 29, it says, "The glory of a young man is their strength, and the beauty of old men is a gray head." So you guys, I mean, I'm going to include me in this because a couple weeks ago at Dodgeball, Zach, he had us break up in different teams after all the teams had played. And he said, 21 and older over there and 20 and older over here. And I'm still 20, so I was like, I'm going back at the high schoolers. Yeah. I'm still young. It made me feel really young. So, but, you know, you guys have a strength. Like, we have a strength. We're still young. We have time. We have energy. Like, staying up till 2 a.m. I mean, we're all a little tired, but, like, we're young. We can rebound. We got this. Adrenaline kicks in. You know, we have just so much strength and so much time and the ability to put some good work in for the Lord. The Lord tells us that that's our glory that we have, that we're younger. It's just, you know, when you get older, you can't stay up as late. You can't, you know, have as much time and energy to put into things. You have more responsibilities, so you have to have a family. But, you know, we have that strength now, so how are we going to use that? How are we going to put the work in now while we still can and we still have it? Or are you going to keep putting it off, keep putting those things off until you're so bogged down with the weights of the world that, you know, it just seems too late, that you're just dragging along? So I just really encourage you guys to put in some of that good work now so you guys are prepared, to become prepared for what the Lord has you further on down the road. And so, you know, it kind of made me stop and think, like, what does that look like? What does that look like, becoming prepared for the Lord? And that's when, you know, it kind of just really made me think about a garden, like preparing that garden. And how do I prepare that garden for the fruit that the Lord wants to bring into my life? So when my dad would first start a new garden, he would take twine and he'd rope off a big rectangle in our yard. And he'd go in and he'd dig up all the grass and get down to the soil. So the first thing he would do is lay a foundation. And the first thing that we have is a foundation laid. So the first thing, you got to lay down that foundation. And this is going to be the easiest one. Because 1 Corinthians 3:11 says that for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So the day that I got saved, the Lord came in and he broke up my hard, cold, and rocky ground, and he transformed my heart into soft and pliable soil. You know, we can look, you know, we've all seen the pool that the Heatons are putting in. You can see all of that dirt and everything that's been dug up. They had to build a foundation. They had to get all that rock and all that hard land out so that they could really do some work and start to put that pool in. It's the same thing when you start a garden. You have to break up that hard ground so you can get down to that soil. And that's what happened the day that I got saved. 1 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." So by reading this, I know that something inside me changed the day that I got saved. I became a new person. The Lord separated my soul from my flesh, and I became a new person with a new foundation. So he broke down all of that rock and all of that dirt so that I could have soil in my life. Jeremiah 4:3 says, "For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns." So fallow means uncultivated. Fallow means like unprepared. You know, just a fallow ground is something that ground that hasn't been worked with. It's just been sitting there. It's hard. It's cracked. So that verse is telling us that, you know, you have to break up that fallow ground. That ground has to be broken. The Lord has to break me before he can build me. He has to come in and transform the inside of me, and he has to create some area of foundation that he can work with. Something inside of me has to give, and a change has to take place before anything else can be formed. And the incredible thing is that the Lord does this for free, free of charge. I told you it was the easiest one. He comes in, if you allow him, and he lays that entire foundation for us. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 makes it very clear that it's not my work that does it. It's his. It's a free gift. And the Lord wants us to have that fellowship and communion with us. He wants to give us that gift. He wants to give us that new start and that new foundation. So once you get saved, that foundation is laid by the Lord and a garden is started. But from that point on, it's up to us what we do with it. I didn't do any work to get it, but I do have to put some work in to maintain it. Just like Adam back in the Garden of Eden. He was given the entire garden for free. He didn't do anything for it. The Lord said, I want you to have this. I'm putting you here. This is all for you. But the Lord said, but I'm putting you in charge to dress and keep it. I'm putting you in charge to maintain it. And so, you know, we don't have any work that we have to do to get it, but we have some work to do that we have to put in to maintain it. And so, you know, I could just leave my garden there. I will forever have that foundation no matter what. When you're saved, you're saved. That's not going anywhere. You're going to have that foundation. But if any sort of garden was started and then left without any sort of protection, you know, or any sort of maintenance, slowly the things from the outside are going to start to infiltrate that garden. You know, grass is going to grow up around it and start to fall in. Animals are going to come through and trot all over that and dig it up. Rocks are going to roll in and settle into it. You know, slowly and slowly that garden's going to get overgrown. And that perfect foundation that the Lord so freely came in and established in me is going to get so easily destroyed if I let it. If you let sin fall into your life, if you let the wrong people trod through your life and walk over that foundation, if you let strongholds roll in and land on that foundation, before you know it, the lines aren't so clear anymore. All of a sudden, that area that the Lord has carved out and so protected, you know, we just let it so get infiltrated with the things of the world around us. Proverbs 24, verse 30 through 31. It says, 24 and 30 through 31, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, and covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. So slothful means to be lazy. So this Proverbs is talking about how, you know, he walked by the field of a lazy person who was void of understanding, and the entire garden was overgrown with thorns and thistles. And it says that it was covered. It wasn't just some here and there. It was covered in that. And, you know, the second we start to get lazy, the second that we start to not apply the understanding that the Bible gives us into our lives, that's when those thorns are going to come up, and they're going to get covered. And we all know what happens is, you know, like a weed pops up, and you're like, oh, I'll get to that later. And then you'll turn around and four more weeds have popped up, and you're like, I can still get to it later. And then you turn around again and like 10 weeds have popped up, and you're like, oh, that's going to be a lot of work. I should probably do it later. Mm-hmm. And then you turn around again, and you know, before you know it, it's just so much easier to just let it build instead of a second a weed pops up, like come over and pluck it out, get it ready. Has anybody here ever played Animal Crossing? Never mind. It's a video game, but okay. It's a video game that my sister and I used to always play, and you had like animals and you had like a little village thing, and the game, it was so frustrating because they tricked you into like playing it every day, because if you didn't log on and play it, in your town, weeds would pop up. And so the longer that you didn't log in and play that game, more weeds would pop up. And so my sister and I would always give each other a hard time. We'd be like, you haven't been in our town in like a week, and there's weeds all over the place, and you need to get in there and pick up all the weeds because it's getting overridden. And it just kind of made me think about that. You know, it's like the longer we put it off, the longer that we don't apply those things that we're learning, the longer that we don't stay on top of that garden, you know, the more those weeds are going to pop up in our lives. And so, you know, but the last part of that verse says, it kind of gives us the answer to why that happened. The last part says, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. There was a wall around that garden, but it was broken down. And so that kind of leads me to my second point, that it's so important to, number two, build a hedge of protection around that foundation, to build a fence around that garden. You know, that garden was broken down because that wall was broken down. And because of that, that allowed some nasty stuff to get into that garden. You know, once my dad got that area all dug out for the garden, he would dig holes around the perimeter, and he had these huge wooden posts, and he'd put them in. This is usually where I came in to help. And so we'd get those posts in, he'd secure it all around, and you know, we'd cement them, and then we'd take chicken wire and wrap it all the way around the fence. And you know, sometimes he'd get fancy and build like a little door that we could go into the fence or go into the garden with and stuff. And so you know, the purpose of that fence was to protect it from, we had a lot of like bunnies in our yard, so to not let like the rabbits come in, or you know, birds, or to keep that good soil in and to keep all that, that bad soil and those rocks from falling into that garden. And so our spiritual fence is going to be the things that we learn in the Bible. It's that shield of faith and that sword of the Word of God that Ephesians 6:14 lays out. The Bible is going to be our defense. If you fill your mind with the truths of the Bible, there will be no room for all the lies that your friends and enemies try to tell you. They'll just bounce right off of you. The best way to keep some bad things out is to fill those spots with good things first. Just, you already have that spot taken. I'm sorry, your lie is not going to work on me. I already know the truth. I already know the principle on it. Before the grass on the outside starts to grow, get that fence up. Build the emphasis on the right things now, so when people try to place emphasis in your life on the wrong things, that spot's already taken. Because, I'm still in school, I'm in college, and the farther along you get, the more that the world is trying to put some pressure on your shoulders. You know, right now it's what kind of internships are you having? Where are you going to apply for jobs? What does your resume look like? And sometimes it's really hard and really discouraging for me because I feel like everybody on campus is trying to one-up each other. You know, I took this class. Well, I got this grade in this class. And I got this interview, and I'm going to go to this place. And the whole time I'm just like, Lord, I just want to get through school because I want to get a job so I can just afford my ministry to support myself and stuff like that. I don't want to do that. And that's because I know what the principle says, that, it's like, I'm not going to work for my gain and my profit. I just want to work so I can support myself and do what the Lord has for my life. And so, the second you start to learn those principles, when you get into situations, you already have something there. Instead of feeling like anxious, being like, oh my gosh, I'm not at that interview, or I didn't apply to that job, I could be like, you know what, I know that I'm doing the best I can, and the Lord's going to get me through, and He's going to have me wherever He wants me at. And so we're told to abound in the things of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 9:8, Colossians 2:7, and 1 Corinthians 15:58 talks about this. And so I want to go look at this one in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So this verse says to be steadfast and unmovable in the things of the Lord. This berry around our garden, it can't be weak. It can't fall over the second wind of false doctrine comes by and just pushes that barrier right over. It says that it has to be steadfast and unmovable. And the only way you're going to get that kind of barrier is abounding in the work of the Lord. The more work that we put into learning the principles and applying them to our fence of protection, the stronger it's going to be. And that verse says that work is not going to be work done in vain. That work is going to pay off in the long run. This is work that's going to be using your youthful strength wisely. I'm already so encouraged by all of you guys. You could be out with your friends this weekend. You guys could have been hanging out with your friends last night. You guys could be doing stuff with your friends today and this morning. But instead, you guys all came here. You guys from Kansas City, you guys chose to come here and to fellowship with us and help us, put on a youth night and let us practice devotions and encourage us and give awesome devotions. And I'm just so thankful for that. And, also, you guys could be using your strength to become the best football player that you can, to become the best soccer player that you can, to become the best dancer that you can. But instead, I see you guys wanting to use your time and use your strength to be the best that you can for the Lord. I mean, a lot of you guys talk about your sports, but you guys talk about them with such a different perspective than I have. Hearing Maddie talk about cross country and being like, I can relate this as principles in the Bible. Or, Logan gave an awesome devotion on cross country before. And, we have a lot of runners in here. And I know that, I got some dancers in here. And just, like, their attitude and changes on dance and their perspective on it has changed. And so, I see you guys wanting to use your strength and use your time differently. And I'm just so encouraged by that. Like, this youth group has just completely changed my life. And a huge part of that is just watching you guys and your diligence and your guys' ability to stand up here and give devotions, because I wasn't able to do that when I was your age. I was not able to talk about the things of the Lord when I was your age. And so you know, I just encourage you guys to don't just strive for chicken wire, like a chicken wire fence. Don't even strive for a wooden fence. Strive for an iron fence. Proverbs 27:17 says that iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Learn from the people around you. Learn from my mistakes. Learn from other people's mistakes. Surround yourself with friends who are going to sharpen you, that are going to help you sharpen that fence of protection and help build that up and make it stronger. You know, you guys, like I said, you guys have a church and a community who wants to help you, who will always be there to help strengthen you and support you. So we have our foundation. We know that Christ laid that foundation. And we know that, you know, we did nothing to get that foundation. But as I talked about, if we just leave that foundation to sit, it's just going to get overridden. It's still going to be there, but it's going to be completely destroyed. So that second point I said, you know, we got to build up those walls. You know, building them up, precept upon precept, line upon line. You know, every time you learn a principle, applying it. Every time you talk about the Lord, it's like another slab of mortar to seal that brick in place. Every time you do something, it's a process. It's building up that foundation a little bit here and a little bit there to make it stronger. So all of a sudden, your garden is nice and protected. And it's a process. But the third thing I want to talk about is preparing that soil. So I don't know what you guys know about gardening, but sometimes you have to add some pretty nasty stuff to soil in order to get it ready for planting. It's called fertilizer, and we all know what makes good fertilizer. Yeah. So
what is it?
I asked. We were going up and getting the songbooks, and Zach was like, Bella left a nice warm gift over there, something in the grass, and I was like, Ashley, can you pick that up? I could use it for my devotion. So the Lord used it. He has to add some crap to our lives sometimes, and, you know, it kind of makes me think, like, I feel like I get frustrated sometimes where a lot of times I think, why do things have to get worse before they get better? Why does the Lord allow some stinky stuff into my life? Why do we go through trials? Why do we go through hardships? You know, if the Lord loves us, he doesn't want us to see us cry and be sad. But, you know, the truth is that the Lord allows some fertilizer into our life. Hebrews 12 verses 10 through 12 offers some really good perspective on this. It says, starting in verse 10, "For they barely for a few days chastened us for their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." So the Lord allows us to go through some things. He allows some chastisement. You know, chastisement is going to be like those hard things that we have to face, because at the end of the day, he says that it's for our profit. At the end of the day, it's going to make us stronger. It's not fun. Even the Lord says it. He says it's not going to be joyous. He knows. It's not, you know, nobody likes to be in trouble. Nobody likes to go through hard things. Nobody likes chastisement. And he says it's going to be grievous. It's going to be hard. But, you know, he's never going to let us go through it alone. Remember that verse that we talked about back in John 15 where it talks about abiding in him and he abiding in me and I abiding in him? You know, the Lord is always with us. He's always going to go through those trials with us. He's always going to endure some of that fertilizer with us. He's going to allow us to go through it, but he's not going to allow us to go through it alone. And so, you know, if you want to grow some fruit for the Lord, you're going to have to go through some stuff, and some stuff that makes that soil rich for planting. The Lord allows some gunk into our lives because, just like that verse says, trials at the end of the day, they're going to yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness. It's going to make us stronger. There's going to be a good outcome at the end. It's going to make you stronger with your relationship with the Lord. It's going to teach you some things that, you know, sometimes you just have to learn it the hard way. Sometimes you just have to get in it and do it to learn some things. And the Lord, but like I said, he's always going to be there going through it with us. And at the end of the day, it's going to make that soil even stronger. It's going to make that soil richer. Did you guys know that in gardening, you can't plant the same thing over and over again? Like, if you have a vegetable garden and you plant tomatoes every single year for 5 years, what eventually happens is, you know, if tomatoes need, like, I don't know, vitamin A to grow or whatever, eventually all the tomato plants over the 5 years is going to take all of that nutrients out of the soil. And now you don't have the nutrients that you need to grow tomatoes. And so what you have to do is you have to kind of rotate your crops, you know. So 1 year you'll plant tomatoes and cucumbers. The next year you'll plant maybe like tomatoes and peppers. And then the next year you'll plant, I don't know, cucumbers again. But the point is that, you know, you have to come in and you have to let that nutrients come back into that soil. You got to come in and renew that soil, and you have to replenish it to get the nutrients back. You know, adding fertilizer is kind of a faster process to get that soil back, to get that nutrients back into the soil so that, you know, you can go back in and plant those fruits again or plant those vegetables again. And so in gardening, it's just, you got to add some fertilizer. In life, you're going to go through some hard things. You know, the Lord's going to allow some things to come into our lives. But like I said, it's going to make that soil even richer. Romans 12, 2. Says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So this verse is telling us that we're not to be conformed to this world. We're not to get into the daily rut and grind of this world. We're not supposed to just give up and just fall into what the world has to offer. You know, and to not keep committing the same sin over and over again. Don't keep hanging out with those same people who just suck all the nutrients out of your soil and just don't add anything back into your life. Don't let the same thing keep getting planted and replanted until there's nothing left. This verse calls us, it says that we are to be transformed and that we are to be renewed day by day and always be ready for what the Lord has to offer us for that day. You know, every single day that I wake up, the Lord has things that he wants to teach me. He wants to show me. He wants to show me in his word. He's, you know, it kind of just makes me think of, like, I don't know, like if you guys have dogs, sometimes when they're puppies and, you know, it's in the morning time, they run into your room, they're looking at all their faces, they want to, you know, they're excited, they want to get you up, they want to get their day started, they want to take you on a walk. You know, the Lord, every single day, he has something for us. It's whether we go and we pick that up or not. You know, it's like the nation of Israel. Every single day, manna came down, and they could collect as much or as little as they wanted, but it was their choice whether they're going to go out and collect that or not. And the same thing for us, you know, we have the ability to be renewed every single day. Every single day, the Lord has nutrients that he wants to add back into the soil for the things that he's going to plant into our life that day, the principles that he wants to show us that day. And so, you know, it's important to keep that soil fresh in your life and to work those trials in to strengthen that soil. If you're going to go through something and you have a big pile of manure in your garden, how are you going to work that into the soil? Are you just going to let it sit there? Or are you going to add it to your soil? You're going to say, okay, I got to get to work on this. I got to work it into that soil, because if I just let it sit here, it's not going to strengthen me. It's just going to stink up this whole garden. And so, you know, it's just having that different perspective when you go through trials, having that different perspective of why did the Lord allow this? And he allowed it for a reason. So, you know, your garden can become such a beautiful place for you and the Lord. I know that I can sit in my garden with the Lord and he'll say to me, "Hey, Sarah, remember that stronghold of jealousy that you had over there?" "Yes, Lord, I remember that one." "And how it was embedded in there, and it was so deep in the garden. But, you know, you got the word of God. You got the sword of the word of God, and together we chipped away at that rock, and we got that out. And look how much more room you have in your garden now." And I think, I think back on the things that I used to struggle with and still do struggle with, but those strongholds that I knew that I had in my life, and I can look back and I say, "You're right, Lord, like you did. You gave me the tools to break down that rock, and I'm so thankful that you did, because it allowed room for so many amazing other things to come into my life." Or he'll say, "Remember that hole that you got in your fence over there? And I showed you that principle on Sunday morning, and it was exactly what you needed to fix that fence, and you didn't pick it up. But then I gave it to you again on Thursday night, and you still didn't pick it up, and that hole kept getting bigger. But then, you know, at discipleship on Sunday, you got to the point where it was so big and so many things were coming into your garden that I gave it to you one more time and you picked it up and you applied it and we got that hole in that fence patched right up. You know, and I just look back on that and it's like, thank you, Lord, thank you. He knew exactly what I needed to fix that hole in my fence, to make that stronger, to reinforce that. And he's always going to give it to us and he's going to, you know, he wants to keep giving it to us until we pick it up, until we apply it, because until we do, those things are going to get bigger. Those rocks are going to get heavier. Those holes in our fence are going to get even bigger and more things are going to come in. Or he'll say, remember when I added some fertilizer over there and this place reeked? But instead of just letting it sit there, you work that right into the soil. And now look at that plant that grows there. Look at that, you know, that plant of peaceable fruit of righteousness that verse talked about. Those things that the Lord wants to grow into life. The relationships that, you know, I get to have with people, the conversations that I get to have with people. It's not because of anything I did. It's just because, you know, the soil was prepared and the Lord came in and he planted something awesome. And, you know, so you can look at the different things that the Lord's planting in your life, the different opportunities, the different ministries, the different friendships that you have that are a result of you just being prepared and just being willing for the Lord to come in and to plant some things into your life. And so, you know, the garden, at the end of the day, is for me and the Lord. Like, this is exactly the place that I want to be with the Lord, and I want it to be a place that he wants to be with me. Like, I want it to be a place that he's pleased to walk in. I want it to be a place that he's pleased to look at the things that he's planted in my life, and I want them to be beautiful plants. I don't want it to be thorns and thistles and overgrown. I don't want the Lord living in a garden like that. I want him living in a garden that's, you know, happy and has things growing. And so, you know, my favorite hymn, and it's no coincidence that we sang this, is In the Garden. It's my favorite hymn, and maybe this is why this picture speaks so much to me, why it encourages me so much, and just, I just love that example of having that place where it's me and the Lord, and what does that look like, and what am I going to make that look like, and what am I going to allow in my life so that I can have the best possible relationship that I have with the Lord. And, you know, the chorus of that verse says, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. So I just really encourage you guys to, you know, use your strength that you have now. Start, you know, if you have that, get that foundation laid. Start building up those principles. Start using your strength to prepare that soil now, because down the road, the Lord has some amazing things that he wants to plant in that garden. And you know, find that place where it's just you and the Lord. Let him show you where you need to patch up the fence. Let him show you where you need to root out that weed, or where you need to replenish some soil. Let him get that soil ready for planting. You know, I so badly want you guys to have the absolute best be the absolute best that you can for the Lord, and have the absolute best relationship that you can with the Lord. And it's a process, and it's going to take a lot of time, and it's not going to be easy. But like I said, like, we are all here for you. We want to help you. We want to help you get that strong fence up. We want to help you figure out how to work some of that manure into your life, how to strengthen that soil. And so, you know, I just encourage you guys to have patience with it. You know, it's going to take time. It's going to be a process. But I promise that once you get going and the Lord gets growing in your life, like, it's completely worth it. So that's all I have for you guys.
Thank you, Maddie and Caitlin. I think we're going to go up and eat lunch, so probably no more songs. Sorry, man.
Yeah.
So, hey, thanks all for coming. It's good fun with you guys. We're going to get up, get some lunch, and then you guys can't stay here. We're going to be leaving pretty soon, so just be ready, have your stuff ready to go, whatever. So, all right, you guys are dismissed.
I did it right.
Is yours coming back on the plate? Earlier.